Good morning. It's Thursday, May 21st. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. We'll hear about a new chamber music festival that was created by a student at UMKC for her doctoral thesis. That's coming up after the news. The Kansas Board of Regents will change policy at public colleges to comply with new mandates related to diversity, KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
Kansas lawmakers passed regulations barring public colleges from requiring courses focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion, commonly known as DEI. Now, regents must craft a policy to comply with the law. Monica Lounsbury is the provost at Wichita State University. She says many clinical programs and social sciences require students to learn about diversity.
And these are really important areas that, at least I feel, I'll speak for Wichita State, that our students need to learn in order to be prepared.
Colleges must also eliminate staff positions related to DEI and mandatory diversity training for employees. Regents must fully comply with the law by July 2028 or risk each college losing about $2 million per year. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
The University of Kansas Hospital Authority is suing CVS, alleging the pharmacy company and its subsidiaries diverted more than $61 million from the hospital. Beck Shackelford-Wanganga of the Kansas News Service reports.
The 340B drug discount program is a federal system. It requires drug companies to lower the cost of medications for healthcare organizations that serve low-income patients. The lawsuit alleges CVS Health Corporation and its subsidiaries secretly kept almost $62 million of savings from the 340B program. The suit also alleges that when the hospital asked for an audit of CVS records, the company retaliated by terminating the agreement with KU. A CVS representative said the company doesn't comment on ongoing litigation. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford-Wanganga.
Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ethan Corson has announced Renee Duxler as his running mate for lieutenant governor, Zach Boblett of the Kansas News Service reports.
Renee Duxler currently serves as the Salina Area Chamber of Commerce president and CEO. Corson touts the ticket's business experience since he served in the U.S. Department of Commerce during the Obama administration. The candidates have limited experience working together, though, as they first met last fall. Corson said he chose Duxler as a running mate due to her success improving economic development in Salina.
I thought it was really staggering, and Renee has been a critical part of that.
The announcement follows fellow Democratic gubernatorial candidate Cindy Holscher's selection of Wichita House Representative Casey Ohabasim as her running mate last week. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Duxler lived in Wichita from 2002 until 2020. She ran unsuccessfully for a seat on the Sedgwick County Commission and served as executive director of the nonprofit Douglas Design District. Republican Kansas gubernatorial candidate Vicki Schmidt says she wants someone with agriculture experience to be her running mate. That's why she's picking Kansas Farm Bureau President Joe Newland to be her lieutenant governor. Newland previously served as a representative in the Kansas State House before he became president of the Farm Bureau. Newland announced earlier this week that he will resign June 1st as Farm Bureau president to become Schmidt's running mate. Schmidt currently serves as the state's insurance commissioner. She says Newland brings a wealth of experience working with the agriculture community to her campaign.
Most, if not all, farmers and ranchers already know Joe, and they know that he always looks out for them.
Schmidt says if she becomes governor, she will appoint Newland to serve as her agriculture secretary. Sedgwick County Commissioners voted unanimously Wednesday to roll back additional agreements for mutual fire aid. The county canceled several contracts with Cheney, Clearwater, Colwich, Mount Hope, and Valley Center earlier this month. Older contracts from the 1990s were canceled by Wednesday's vote. The contracts required Sedgwick County Fire District 1 to provide automatic mutual aid to the suburban cities. Without a new contract, aid to the cities will end in August. Commissioners say the move is about equity, since the cities don't pay taxes to support the fire district, but were benefiting from its services. The company that operates Dillon's stores in Kansas will pay a $2.5 million penalty for violations of the Federal Clean Air Act. A complaint filed by the U.S. Department of Justice says Kroger failed to properly manage refrigerant chemicals at some of its stores and manufacturing facilities. The complaint says the company exceeded limits set by the government on the proper use of the chemicals. Two Dillon stores in Topeka and one in Garden City were cited for violations. In an agreement filed last month, Kroger pledged to spend about $100 million over the next 3 years to reduce coolant leaks. Officials with Newton Public Schools say a senior prank went too far and is now a criminal matter. The district says 11 recent graduates gained access to Newton High School for what may have started as a senior prank. District officials say it resulted in damage to the interior of the school. A spokeswoman says surveillance video captured the incident and footage has been turned over to law enforcement. The district said there is an active criminal investigation, so it will not provide further details. The Aftershocks are returning to defend their title in the basketball tournament. Wichita State University alumni make up much of the summer basketball team. The Aftershocks' first game is on July 20th against the Enchantment, which features alumni from the University of New Mexico. It will be a best-of-three series under the tournament's new format. The tournament has also raised the top prize to $2 million. First-round games will be played at Koch Arena. Other games in Wichita will feature at KU and K-State alumni teams. Tickets for the games are available at tbthoops.com or at the Wichita State box office. And now, KMUW's Lou Ann Stevens brings us some upcoming events in the Wichita area.
The Smoky Valley Chamber Music Festival is tomorrow and Saturday in Lynchburg. There are daily concerts and special events throughout the community, and it culminates with the festival finale concert on Saturday. The theme is American soundscape, with music that reflects the blend of multicultural traditions that make up American music. The Mid-America All-India Museum's 50th anniversary concert and party is Saturday evening. It starts at 5 o'clock with a 70s theme, including disco, karaoke, and games. The Wichita Women's Tennis Open starts Sunday and runs through the following Sunday. It's at the Sheldon Coleman Tennis Complex, and you can see rising stars and seasoned pros. Storytime in the Park is at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. That's downtown at Nafsker Park. Kids and adults can read along with stories on the park's big screen, and there's also music and other activities for kids. Testing the American Dream is this Tuesday evening at 6. It's at Roxy's downtown, and one of the speakers is KMUW's Hugo Fan. And KMUW's Literary Feast will be Wednesday evening. It starts at 6 in KMUW's lobby, and this month we'll be discussing Son of Nobody by Jan Martel. Bring your own beverage. Dinner is provided by Public. Tickets are available, but only through Tuesday morning. You can find more information on the events calendar at kmuw.org.
We'll be back after this.
Tomorrow on the Range, the Wichita Library is getting ready for summer reading. Plus, local booksellers recommend page-turning summer titles. So join us on the Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. The town of Lindsborg is playing host this week to the new Smoky Valley Chamber Music Festival. Caroline Beckman created and planned the event for her doctoral thesis at UMKC. KMUW's Torin Anderson caught up with Beckman during a rehearsal inside Presser Hall at Bethany College and talked with her about the festival.
The idea came to me last summer. I was sitting at a concert, and I looked around, and I saw the faculty, and I saw the students, and I saw all of us experiencing this George Crumb piece, and it was, like, so much more beyond what actually was even the music itself. It was, like, all these barriers were being crossed, and why couldn't we do this in my hometown in Lindsborg?
Here is the first stroke of what became Carolyn Beckman's doctoral thesis, the Smoky Valley Chamber Music Festival.
The more I thought about the idea, the more it just exploded in my mind. And so I turned over to my friend and I was like, can you give me a pencil? And I just started like writing down all of my ideas like super, super fast because I was so excited.
It is her first time planning something on this scale.
I have no template, and so I've had to do so much research or even looking back into the last few years of festivals that I've gone to figure out what makes them run. I feel like I'm building this airplane as we fly. And the crazy thing is, I have passengers.
Beckman has pulled in help from all over the country to take part in the festival. She has also brought in a performer from the Dominican Republic she met last year.
One of the pieces I really wanted to program was Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring, which requires a very demanding clarinet part. And the first person that I thought of when I was like, who could play this? Who can I bring in? Was Cesarine.
This is my second time in the U.S., and it's a very good opportunity. It's nice to be here working with Caroline.
Beckman seems to have brought along almost her entire musical history of collaborators on this ride. Professionals, faculty, peers, and students of Beckman's will be taking part.
Four categories. We have the faculty artists, which are my dissertation committee, who is kind of, you know, observing my capstone project unfold. Undergraduate level, and so those are going to be our festival interns, so they get to kind of have that side-by-side experience with the graduate students. And then we have some high school students, and those are our festival students.
The performers are not limited to standard performing venues. The festival will cross over with visual artists and bring back an old tradition, the Spring Artist Open House in Lenzburg.
The Artist Studio Open House will feature our Smoky Valley Chamber Music young artists and some of our festival interns performing as well.
Emily Howe is director at Red Barn Studio. Spring Artist Open House has not occurred in about 25 years. How helped Beckman organize this revival?
And so Caroline grew up doing that during the Christmas Artist Studio Open House. So she called me just a few months ago and was like, can we put together a spring studio open house? And she didn't even know that there ever was a spring artist studio open house.
How reached out to artists and they agreed.
But because many of them knew Caroline from playing in their studios while she was in high school, they said, you know what, for Caroline, we love her, we'll do it, yes.
The weekend's performances at Bethany College Inside Presser Hall will include pieces by Gershwin, Bernstein, Bach, Grieg, Copland, and a new work specifically for the local audience.
The very last piece is going to be specifically about Lenzburg, about our home, which is a brand new piece that I've commissioned by a Kansas City-based composer.
If this sounds like a lot to put together since December, this is actually the compromise Beckman made with herself to limit the ideas she would pursue.
I had to, like, cap it because the ideas were still coming, and then I had to just resign myself to the fact that not everything was going to be able to happen in the first year and be okay with maybe I wanted to start with something that is really good, and then we can grow from there. It's been like the biggest and hardest and most special and personal thing that I've ever worked on.
For KMUW Arts, I'm Torin Anderson.
All performances and events at the Smoky Valley Chamber Music Festival are open to the public. There's more at KMUW.org. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.